All right, we're going to wrap up. The study of repentance. And then we'll spend a little bit of time on discussing the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering. The one major point that it seems like all the commentators I've ever looked at they believe that, first of all, that we have free will. That's sort of the bottom line. So because people believe we have free will, therefore you have a choice with regard to repentance. And my position is that there is no, if there's a choice, it's probably not true repentance. And so to me, repentance is the drowning man going down for the third time and his hand automatically raises up. Or repentance is this parable or simile of walking away from your own fetus. Your own dung. Is that a choice? Let's look at this choice business. Let's go to John 1. I've more people get upset about this than almost anything else.
The free will.
The free will. God gave us free will.
How about free speech?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of the blood of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. That's pretty clear. Let's go to Isaiah 53. What, Mr. Buckner?
Well, just putting it together with every child is born seeming innocent on one hand, but born into the fall on the other. Part of this grand mystery of how and why that happens, which we know.
It chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord, or the seed of the Lord, revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He is despised and rejected of all men. That's what it says in Hebrew. Well, then what happens? What happens? What happens? How does the mystery of conversion happen? It's my position that it happens exclusively and only vis-a-vis repentance.
What causes repentance?
Seeing of your own fruitlessness, your own emptiness, the stupidity of your mind. If he isn't there, you die. It's not an intellectual transaction. There must be a total and complete consciousness of your poverty. You must have run all the roads and all the rabbit holes, so there becomes a sense of overwhelming unworthiness. Therein is the dethroning of pride. And there comes a willingness to surrender to God without condition.
Prodigal son.
What?
Sound like the prodigal son. Eating with the pigs. No pride. Tried it.
Let's go to Luke 14. Luke 14. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Last, haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, whether the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth condition of peace. Likewise, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now I don't think there's anywhere in the scriptures that there's any harder sayings than that. But it's the fruit of total and complete trust or anything about you. And a total and complete trust in everything about God. So that surrender is complete. Forsake all that he hath cannot be my disciple. How can that be? Now, as we've talked about many times, the forsaking of the external possessions is child's play. The forsaking of everything that made you is a whole other difference. Forsake all that he hath. Forsaking all your knowledge of how to do things. Forsaking all cause and effect. Forsaking all ideas, opinions, stands. Let's go to Philippians 3. Anybody have any response?
This brings up to me the grandest phenomena of God's trickery. The strongest instinct in man is surviving. And the last thing you want to look at is your death. And those are the two things that get you into the kingdom, is accepting your death. I mean, really looking at it, not just kind of acquiescing that it's there someday. But
no, it's already bad. It's already happened.
Seeing it for even there, I mean, both ways. You don't want to look at the fact that it's going to happen. You don't even want to consider that it did. That you can't understand. The other one you don't want to happen. So anyway, you just push it out the door and go about your merry way. Even hearing the word, your mind will start reinterpreting it. So you stay away from death, but you look for the words to help you survive. That fills up churches. And yet what we're seeing is the opposite of...
Everything you just talked about is the fruit of the fall.
Yeah.
And that's what has to be... That's what has to be abandoned, given up, forsaken. Let's go to Philippians 3.
This one thing when we read yesterday in Job, but we're talking about repentance, where it says, I've heard of thee by the seeing of the eye and hearing.
Hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee.
Yeah, and that, in my opinion, allows you to look at everything really and without fear, and because you've seen him, which overcomes all of that. And then you can, to me, that's where repentance can be real.
And then you're saying repentance comes after salvation?
Is that what I said?
I think so.
I think it's about the same time. I think you see him and something changes. You become a new creature.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying that the Well, that's not important. Let's go to Philippians 3.
Let's go back to that a second. It's like when you were there with Norman Grubb and that happened to you, you saw him, he revealed himself, and it's like, was that not all in the same moment of time of salvation and revelation?
Well, that was the beginning. That wasn't the end. Well, only the purpose of time is to see whether somebody is going to be faithful to that. So the purpose of time is revealing rebellion.
Or working out your faith.
Or revealing rebellion.
Yeah, both.
All right. Before we go to Philippians, let's go to John 16. Sorry about that. This says it in a very simple way, a little bit differently. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And again, I believe the Comforter is a strange word. I mean, the word is paraclete. And it literally means lying down beside you. Paraclete. Paracletos. And so what he's saying now, what he's about to say, doesn't really have anything to do with comfort. What?
Oh, one of my guys, I think he wants to come.
Have him come on in.
Want some coffee?
He probably wants to hear Bible study. That's what he told me before.
He did?
Hey. Have a seat.
Not that one.
Can if you want to. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will so show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, so he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And this is about the sin offering that we've been talking about. Of sin, because you believe not on him. Now, this isn't a believe like you believe the light's on or you believe in a certain philosophy. This believe says that if he isn't faithful, I die. It says that everything must be given back. You are without. It's everything we've talked about. And if he isn't faithful, you die. There's no planning. There's no cause and effect. There's no agendas. There's no other purpose. If he isn't faithful, you die. So that's what it means to reprove the world of sin. Now that's a biggie. It doesn't get any bigger. And he reproves the world of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. That is the definition then from now on, the only definition for righteousness, having gone to the Father. And he's reproved the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. That's the only judgment that has any merit. So that defines everything. Those three sentences, I'll reprove the world of sin, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and of judgment because the prince of the world has already been judged. That says it all if we could hear. Now the question is, where are you not believing on him? Therein is rebellion. Now, again, wherein are you leaning in your own arm of understanding for something? Therein revealeth sin, because you believe not in him. Wherein are you judging somebody down? Then you've made his going to the Father of none effect. You've made, because you have to, in order to judge somebody else down, you that's this flip side of the same coin. You have to feel righteous. So this repentance thing is everything to do with understanding of sin. And sin, from God's perspective, isn't what you do, it's who you are. Trespass is what you do. You, as sin, are incapable of doing what was just said. You, as sin, are incapable of repentance. So part and parcel of repentance is accepting and understanding your death. That if his resurrection isn't real, then you're lost. You bet the farm. Now, a bunch of this comes in a way that it circumvents your mind. God puts you in circumstances that you feel are just terrible. And he puts you in circumstances where there, in truth, is no other way to get out of it except repentance. But the issue then is remaining under. Staying in that position. You're not fixed and saved and you have repented and then so that you can go about your own life. You understand? That's what the world teaches. The repentance leads to salvation, not to be repented of, but that salvation means that now I'm a good guy and now I can do what I do better. I can raise children better. I can have a happy wife. I can have a happy husband because now I know what to do. My only question is, how's that worked out for anybody? Just recently, the percentages of divorce in Christians has gone past the percentage of divorce in the general public. That's pretty amazing. Talk about apostasy. Yeah. According to Barnett. Yeah.
So, we're talking about free will.
It doesn't exist.
But then do we have a choice on repentance?
No, you don't have any part of it. He has to choose you, not because it's not by the will of the flesh or the will of God. You have to repent without believing the possibility that God is there. If he's not there, you die. That's repentance. This is interesting. This the real meaning. I mean, let's look at it from another standpoint. On Rosh Hashanah is when Isaac was bound. That's repentance. He was bound, and the father's knife was coming down. Interesting, he was bound in the Hebrew. The wood was just two pieces of wood, and even the ancient Jews said that it was in the form of a cross. That's repentance. Well, you have to know that everything else is crap. That's why you don't resist. If you think that there is something else, that's why all this stuff about hating your mother, father, sister, brother, wife, and children, your own, the test of that is boom. You see them differently. You see them not with the labels. You see people as just people in need. That's when only time, you know, we've talked so much about love, but and that's what's so ironic. The world's definition of love, it seems to me, is that you need that person. And then you go into you have a contract where you're obligated then because of the vow. Well, once there's obligation, there can't be true love. That's why what we do every year when in the Kol Nidre, you even throw in your marriage vows, because that renews this, or it has the potential of renewing, so that there isn't so your love isn't based on need. Your need. I mean, that's why it's so pitiful when you see people, and all these songs about, I need you so much, and blah, blah, blah. That's not love. That's psychosis. If you need someone to fulfill you, then it's not love. It's self-love. Anyhow. Repentance is just another word for emptiness. It's another word for humility. It's all the same. It's a way of life that words can't describe properly. That's why the parable of it is things like Isaac bound on the altar. There's a prayer in Psalms. I forgot where it is right now, but. The prayer is, bind me tightly to the horns of the altar. So that these idiot ideas of my mind are meaningless. And the feelings I have or the concerns are just psychosis, psychotic. Spiritually. Amen? Anybody have any other response to any of this? That was kind of a rant, but. Anybody believe it?
Which part?
The whole part.
What?
Gary?
I'm just thinking about love and true love, which is what will last, and the psychosis love, which everybody, I mean, that'll mess you up really bad, the psychosis love.
All right, take it, big guy.